Welcome to the Multiple Chronic Condition Resource Center's first podcast. We are proud to have Dr. Julian Gallegos as a clinical associate professor and interim assistant head of graduate programs and a doctor of nursing practice program director at Purdue University School of Nursing in West Lafayette, Indiana. His nursing experience spans 23 years that include military and civilian sectors. Dr. Gallegos stands out as a patient-focused nurse practitioner and educator. His diverse roles have encompassed hospital management, educational administration, and clinical practice, with a special focus on diabetes, stroke, urology, sleep medicine, and men's health, alongside his significant contributions to research and patient advocacy. He is actively engaged in men's health in the primary care arena and currently practices at the North Central Nursing Clinics in Indiana. He holds a board position on the American Association for Men in Nursing. He is recognized regionally, nationally, and internationally. Dr. Gallegos' dedication has been honored with numerous awards. He has positions on several editorial boards of scientific journals such as the Urologic Nursing Journal, the American Journal of Men's Health, and he is a recent editorial board member for the Multiple Chronic Conditions Resource Center. His professional stature is underlined by his fellowships at the Academy of Urological Nurses and Associates and the Luther Crispin Fellow of the American Association of Men in Nursing. Dr. Gallegos, very impressive resume and background, and we are proud to have you not only as an editorial board member, but as our first speaker for our podcast initiative. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's our pleasure. With all of your experience, can you help us understand the link between the connection of type 2 diabetes and low testosterone in men, and how these multiple conditions impact men's health overall?
Yeah, definitely. So the connection between type 2 diabetes and low testosterone in men is fairly well documented. More and more research has come out since the early 90s, specifically around testosterone replacement in men. But the connection between type 2 diabetes is fairly new, probably within the last decade. There are several studies that actually indicate that men with diabetes are more likely to have lower levels of testosterone compared to men without diabetes. I call it, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg syndrome, because we don't really know if yet as to whether low testosterone causes is a risk for type 2 diabetes or vice versa. We do know that low testosterone in men with diabetes contributes to insulin resistance and vice versa. It creates a cyclical impact that can actually exacerbate both conditions. Testosterone helps the body's tissues take up more blood, a sugar specifically in response to insulin that's produced within the body. And then the lower levels can therefore reduce this efficiency, whether that obviously the low testosterone. This makes diabetes harder to control in individuals or men who actually have low testosterone, or another term that's commonly used is hypogonadism. Together, these conditions actually can lead to a compounded negative effect on overall health, including increased risk for things like cardiovascular disease, obesity, metabolic syndrome, and even as the male ages, bone density loss.
It's interesting, and certainly an area for multiple chronic conditions to arise. As we think about the symptoms and risks for men, what are the key symptoms and risk factors that both men and clinicians can evaluate for diabetes, or what would indicate that they also have low testosterone levels?
Yeah, so the most common symptoms, and unfortunately a lot of our chronic conditions actually mimic these same symptoms and risk factors for men with diabetes. Oftentimes they'll come in with low or reduced libido, erectile dysfunction. Fatigue's a big one, but again, fatigue's an umbrella term because so many chronic conditions lead to fatigue. Oftentimes you'll see depression or agitation, surprisingly enough, and reduced muscle mass. I jokingly always tell my patients and ask them in clinic as to what, how, basically tell me how your partner or your wife feels about your attitude. Because people believe that high levels of testosterone, which they do in super physiological numbers, meaning you have high levels of testosterone, can lead what to a lot of people think of as roid rage. But men with low testosterone oftentimes will also present with what I call old grumpy man syndrome. And they have oftentimes their attitudes and their behaviors with their family and their spouse is not the greatest. And it's a result of having low testosterone. Men with diabetes who experience these symptoms should be evaluated for low testosterone. Right now, the USPSTF does not recommend routine screening for low testosterone, but if these risk factors or symptoms are present, then it would be prudent for any clinician to actually assess for those. So risk factors that increase the likelihood of both conditions include age. Older men are more susceptible, obviously. Obesity plays a huge role in low testosterone in men, and that's regardless of age. And if you notice that if you have a male patient who has type 2 diabetes and you aren't able to control their blood sugars effectively with your common anti-diabetes medications, it might be prudent to take a look at that low testosterone. Anecdotally, in practice, I learned this early on when I was working specifically in urology and treating men for testosterone replacement therapy who happened to have diabetes. I noticed that a lot of these gentlemen did have erratic patterns with their blood sugars. And the minute we put them on testosterone or evaluated for testosterone, then we found out they had low testosterone and put them on that replacement therapy, they got better control with their blood sugars.
That's interesting, particularly when you think about younger people that are obese, younger men that are obese. When we think about managing multiple chronic conditions in men with diabetes and low testosterone, what would you consider the challenges to be in managing these conditions simultaneously? And how can effective management improve their quality of life?
Yeah, so managing diabetes and low testosterone simultaneously presents several challenges, primarily the interaction between these conditions that can complicate treatment and management strategies. We know that testosterone is an insulin sensitizer, so therefore, as I mentioned in the last question, that individuals oftentimes will see an improvement in their overall glycemic control or their blood sugar control. But also, for instance, some medications used for diabetes can impact testosterone levels and vice versa. One of the biggest is a more common medication that we typically give initially for those who are either pre-diabetic or diabetic, such as metformin. It can play a great role in testosterone levels in men. It all can contribute to lower levels of testosterone. People don't understand that or don't know that. And it's our first line drug oftentimes to prescribe that for men and women, but for men specifically, it can have a opposite effect and, you know, obviously decrease testosterone overall. Effective management involves obviously a comprehensive approach that includes optimizing glycemic control or, you know, sugar control, regular monitoring of testosterone levels in these individuals. And the biggest one is lifestyle modifications such as diet and exercise. That's a big one that I actually talk to patients about, because no matter how many medications we prescribe you to control your diabetes and or low testosterone, the most important thing, the most important factor is your diet and your exercise. This also includes stress management. Stress management, as we know, or stress in of itself increases cortisol. So understanding how to manage that stress is very important. Oftentimes, I do recommend these men to see behavioral health just to kind of help address their overall stress if they're not getting that from exercise, because oftentimes exercise in of itself is a stress management technique. Improving the management of these conditions can significantly enhance quality of life overall, including better control of symptoms, which leads to improved energy levels and reduced risks of long-term complications.
Interesting. You mentioned first-line therapy being metformin. What specific guideline do you rely on for your diabetic medication management?
So I typically follow the American Diabetes Association guidelines for therapy. I really like the guidelines, and you know, I try to adhere to them as much as possible. Because they're evidence-based and they've been known to work in multiple populations. So those are the guidelines that I currently use for that. For testosterone replacement, I typically will use the American Urological Association guidelines for management of low testosterone.
Well, we need to include that updated guideline. We have the 2024 guideline for type 2 diabetes for ADA and the Multiple Chronic Conditions Resource Center, but we certainly need to include the testosterone guideline as well. I'm glad that you've brought that to our attention. So moving on to another question for you, managing the role or the, as we're talking about the role for the Resource Center, how do you think that the Multiple Chronic Conditions Resource Center can assist healthcare professionals when providing comprehensive care to men who are experiencing type 2 diabetes and low testosterone?
Yeah, I think the biggest role that the Resource Center can provide for healthcare professionals is by providing up-to-date information, making it easily accessible so that way those treatment guidelines are immediately accessed. A lot of these obviously are public knowledge. They're on websites such as the American Diabetes Association and American Urological Association, but oftentimes it's nice just to have them in one concise space so that way clinicians can quickly go in there and take a look. As a faculty member, I teach graduate students, specifically nurse practitioner students, and using their resources, and this would be a perfect resource for future clinicians, specifically nurse practitioners in my case, to be able to access that information. I think also another great thing would be offering things like this podcast, so healthcare professionals could review it in a short period of time and have a basic understanding of the mechanisms behind certain recommendations for treatment of multiple different chronic diseases. Things like training modules, maybe case studies, and then obviously access to expert individuals, experts in the fields. Additionally, I think it can help facilitate multidisciplinary collaboration among specialists, which is inclusive of individuals such as endocrinologists, urologists, primary care providers, which is also includes our advanced practice providers, nurse practitioners, physician associates, and nurses, and other healthcare professionals who provide care to the different types of patients. But in this case, obviously, our patients with diabetes and concomitant testosterone deficiency.
Thank you. I agree with you, and we're working, and you're part of the team to improve this resource center to, you know, provide valuable clinical information to improve patient care, particularly men with type 2 diabetes and low testosterone. So when we think about treatment approaches, with so much attention on the GLP-1 group of medications, you know, I am on so many listservs, and this new medication is popping up all over the place. And now with the shortage of Ozempic and Mounjaro, based on, you know, the FDA's approval for type 2 diabetes, for obesity, the new indication that these groups of drugs can reduce the incidence of heart attack and stroke. And just this last week, I saw something where the GLPs can actually, now it's in a pill form, can help to relieve sleep apnea. I saw something the other day that they're actually investigating it on knee pain. So with these new drugs and best current practices, we've talked about guidelines, you know, what are the best practices for treating this patient population?
Yeah, you know, these drugs have recently come on and have made huge strides in different areas for chronic health conditions. This is inclusive of the GLP-1s and obviously the GLP-2s. And we know that they work fairly well with individuals who have type 2 diabetes. And there's a, obviously a focus on making sure that we provide comprehensive treatment and approach it in a way that will help improve an individual's metabolic health. For men with multiple chronic conditions, including diabetes and low testosterone, I think best practices include an integrated treatment plan that addresses both conditions together. This might involve using a GLP-1, a GLP-2, or a combination of both to improve the overall glycemic control and reduce obesity. So that's the biggest goal, obviously, because a lot of times with our type 2 diabetes or patients with type 2 diabetes, along comes the obesity component of it. And so, alongside with testosterone therapy, if the levels are clinically low and symptoms are present, it's best for us to treat both together. So not only will for instance, the GLP-1, GLP-2 assist with the weight loss, but the testosterone will help increase lean muscle mass in men, which therefore kind of not only are you losing weight, but you're gaining muscle mass, which overall is healthier because they're able to better metabolize any foods or anything that they intake. As opposed to just losing the weight and not gaining any lean muscle mass to kind of counter that effect. I think that the overall approach for these individuals should be personalized. Obviously, we do have individuals who have type 2 diabetes and low testosterone, especially obviously in men, who are oftentimes within normal weight. So, what do we do in that case? Obviously, we still need to manage their type 2 diabetes, and maybe it's not using the GLP-1s for weight loss, but obviously what they were originally intended for that glycemic control. And we also have to consider the coexisting conditions such as cardiovascular disease and our sleep apnea. Sleep apnea, I don't know if you're aware of this, but oftentimes in what men with low testosterone and sleep apnea, if they have, at least this is the way I practice, if they do have sleep apnea, I make sure that they're treated and they're following or using the CPAP accordingly before I will prescribe the testosterone, because it has been known that males receiving testosterone who have sleep apnea and are not using CPAP, the sleep apnea can worsen. So there's a lot of kind of balls in the air all at once, trying to make sure that the individual is being taken care of in a more personalized manner.
Well, that's interesting. There's a lot in the scientific literature about compounded GLP-1 and 2 medications, and I think it's important that we recognize the safety associated or the risks associated with unsafe practice in compounded medications. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think for clinicians who are considering using compounding pharmacies for the GLP-1s, GLP-2s, they just need to be aware of the risks associated with them. And I think finding compounding pharmacies who have accreditation are the most, one of the biggest things that I look for if I was going to use one. I don't currently use compounding pharmacies, but that would be my thought process of making sure I find a compounding pharmacy that has the accreditation. It's not just this, mom and pop shop that exists somewhere in some state who's adding a component to their GLP-1, GLP-2 in order to sell it as a different, a quote unquote, different product.
Right. And the FDA has issued warnings on the compounding of these medications for sure. So, as we assess resources and information, where can patients and healthcare providers find the most reliable and up-to-date information on managing diabetes? I know we've talked about this a little bit, but as it relates to patients more specifically than healthcare providers, patients and family members who are experiencing the side effects associated with type 2 diabetes and low testosterone. And I like your analogy of grumpy old men, but where can they go to find information?
Yeah, I think both patients and healthcare providers can find reliable and up-to-date information on managing both diabetes and low testosterone in men through various professional medical associations, nursing associations, such as the American Diabetes Association, the Endocrine Society, the American Association for Clinical Endocrinologists, the American Urological Association. The Men's Health Network has some information specifically on chronic conditions, and a reliable source for both healthcare professionals and clinicians has existed for quite a while. Rather than using what I call Dr. Google, would be Medscape. Medscape has some reliable information because it does ha attach a lot of the information there to evidence through research that's been done specifically to those conditions. And then obviously our MCC Resource Center, right? This is the place where I think a lot of patients can come to access that information that is more patient friendly, because oftentimes the professional organizations oftentimes are geared towards healthcare professionals, and the language oftentimes does not resonate with patients. So the MCC, I think, is a place where patients can easily access that information and be able to understand it in a way that they know has an impact on their overall daily life. I think the MCC will provide a centralized access, which can ensure that both patients and providers have the latest information and tools necessary for effective management. Again, it's bringing everything that's out there in a more centralized location for both patients and healthcare professionals.
Yes, and I think, one of our goals at the Resource Center is to ensure evidence-based practice versus anecdote. In clinical practice, you hear your patient say, my friend or my, somebody else's sister or brother, they did this and that, and they don't realize the importance of, scientific information for safe practices.
Right. And to piggyback on that, I think it is important for clinicians to be educated on where to find these resources and where to point patients to, because in the life of a clinician, oftentimes we don't have the amount of time that we want with the patient. But is it a flyer? Is it a business card that has the MCC Resource Center's information on there and say, here, unfortunately, our time is cut short, but here's a place where you can locate that information. If you still have questions, give us a call back, and we can have further discussions about things that you may have read within the Resource Center.
That's a great idea. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think is important to share with clinicians or patients with men in type 2 diabetes and low testosterone?
Well, the only thing I say is that I'm hoping that clinicians will now have greater awareness of the connection between type 2 diabetes and low testosterone, because oftentimes it's not thought of as two conditions having effect on each other. Sometimes a lot of clinicians think that testosterone deficiency is kind of its own condition that's in a silo, but it's connected to so many different things. And just bringing that awareness, I'm hoping that this podcast will bring that awareness and inspire clinicians to actually go out there and start looking at the literature and how testosterone deficiency and type 2 diabetes kind of play a kind of play together, or how do the two conditions interact and have an effect on each other, so that way they're better prepared to provide individualized care plans for their patients.
Absolutely. And with the 80 million baby boomers and the aging population, you mentioned that older men are more at risk. And with these, two conditions that are, simultaneously being evaluated and managed effectively will only improve their quality of life.
Definitely. And I see that in my clinic. I do treat a lot of patients over the age of 65, and There, the American Urological Association does not dictate age limits for testosterone replacement therapy. They do caution testosterone replacement therapy in younger adults, but that's usually because of the risk of decreasing fertility, which there's other conversations that can be had with those younger men who happen to have type 2 diabetes and low testosterone. Outside of just giving plain old testosterone, there are alternatives that they could potentially consider to give to the younger populations who have both type 2 diabetes and low testosterone. But yeah, definitely I see the quality of life in the men 65 and older who are receiving therapy for both, and it is exciting to see when they come back and they're like, I feel a whole lot better, or my sugars are actually in control. And you see that A1C decrease over time, thus reducing their overall risk and hopefully increasing their overall lifespan, right?
So, as a clinician, I have one question for you. When I consider testosterone replacement therapy, I also think about the risk of blood clot. So, are you also following their hematocrit routinely?
Definitely, the American Urological Association guidelines and the endocrine guidelines, because they both provide guidelines. But I prefer the AUA guidelines just because that's kind of where I was trained. But they're very similar. They do recommend periodic hemoglobin hematocrit evaluations to ensure that the blood levels aren't getting too high.
Yeah, perfect. Anything else, Dr. Gallegos, that you would like to address or discuss?
I don't at the moment. I just want to thank you for having me, and I hope there's some light on the subject, and it inspires clinicians who treat both to kind of start looking at the literature and guidelines to help them provide care for their patients.
Absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. It's a pleasure to have you on the editorial board. I think the area of practice that you're passionate about is so important, an area that we don't often see, in the literature, the combination of type 2 diabetes, obesity, and low testosterone. Very important. I mean, it's probably in every patient, throughout the day that I see, for sure. So with that said, we're grateful and thank you, and we hope that this podcast does reach the people that we hope to impact, the care of others. So thank you.
Again, thank you.